Isn't it great to be in a church service Christmas time? This to me is just one of the favorite things where we gather together, talk about the Christmas story. And I want to thank you for the blessing of your presence here with us this morning. The Christmas story is told in a few different places in the Bible. They're the main places. The Gospel of Matthew tells us about parts of the Christmas story with the wise men or the magi and the dreams. We have Luke. Luke tells us a lot about the Christmas story from Mary's perspective. And we have the shepherds and the angels and great parts from Luke. Then we have prophecies. Isaiah has a lot. There's some Old Testament prophecies that we proclaim at Christmas. John alludes to the Christmas story about in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And there's this idea of God with us and the light shining in the darkness. And then there was one that Pastor Emily alluded to a few weeks ago. And that is the Christmas dragon. Now, I'm going to make another plug for Jenny's Bible study group. And Jenny, will you stand up? I know you don't like the attention. But this is the person you talk to if you want to be involved in the Bible plan. She will help you. Yes. It's been fantastic, and not too long ago, for those of us blessed to be in the yearly Bible plan this year, we got the dragon nativity story, because that's in the book of Revelation, where there is a dragon getting ready to swoop in, but he doesn't make it. And so we have a dragon at the nativity scene. But if I had to choose just one passage from the Bible to read for the Christmas story, I would start with Luke chapter 2. And I want to start too with the New King James Version because of how this is worded in such a beautiful way. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, specifically, the reason why I chose the New King James Version is because of the phrase, and it came to pass. Let that sink in. And it came to pass. Now, sometimes these words are very comforting. What troubles you right now? What is it that bothers you? What troubles? What weighs you down? And it came to pass. What are you worried about? What kind of anxieties do you have? And it came to pass. What kind of conflicts are you going through right now, internal or external? And it came to pass. What hurts? And it came to pass. Those words can sometimes be very comforting when we go through the struggles of life, that it came to pass. There's an ancient story that has several different versions, but the story goes something like this. There's an Eastern king, and he charges his wise men to come up with a phrase that will be true no matter what. And they think, and they come back to the king, and the phrase that they come back with to the king is, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." Very similar to, "And it came to pass." Now that, again, it's good news. It's good news when we are going through troubles. But what about the other times? What about the other things that we go through? It's not quite as good when we're holding on to something really great that we don't want to pass. And there's tension that we have. Now, Luke kind of addresses this tension that we have of the good news over this too shall pass that is bad news some of the time. And it's the very end. So Luke tells the Christmas story, what happens that first Christmas in Luke chapter 2. And he starts with "it came to pass." And look at the end in Luke 2:19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." So we have, at the beginning, we have things that are coming to pass. And at the end, Mary keeping things. It's almost backwards, isn't it? Like at the beginning, it's like Luke is saying, savor these things. Let's begin with the end. All these things that are coming, they're coming to pass. So savor this, which is about ready to be told, because it's going to come to an end. It's that this too shall pass phenomenon. But then there's this thing that maybe there's a way to keep it. Now, there's some babies that are here today, and it's going to be babies' first Christmas. Isn't that awesome? I've seen a few of the babies this morning, and it'll be babies' first Christmas 2024. Now, if you've got some young ones, you could probably remember back to the time where it was their first Christmas and how special those times were. And maybe if you go back and you think about it, and you hear, and it came to pass, maybe that's a little bit bittersweet, because we know those moments are just here for a while. Babies, first Christmas is this year. Savor it, because it will come to pass. It will come to pass. And sometimes we feel those words when, I know for me, it feels a little bitter when I go back and I watch old videos of Christmases past when my kids are little. You ever do that? You see those pictures, those videos, and you remember. Or maybe you see pictures, and for me, it's pictures when, like, I see my grandparents. And my grandparents are no longer here. And it's a little bit bittersweet that came to pass. Last week, Caleb and I, we went to Frankfurt, where my kids grew up. All my kids were born when we lived in Frankfurt. We lived there 11 years. And we went back to the house. I think I'm going to switch mics. Is that cool? Could that work? I'm hearing an echo. Is anybody else hearing that, or is it just me? It's just me? Okay. Well, I'll ignore it then. So we were driving back through Frankfurt, and it was really cool to be there with my son as he's there, and we moved when he was like 7 or 8, I think. And so he's kind of remembering some of the places that we'd been, and his memory was being jogged. And I'll have to say, like, driving by our old house, like, the memories came flooding back to me in these different areas, times where our family and Christmases long past, those times that we had that we savored, but knowing they're gone. They're long gone. So it came to pass. A couple weeks ago, I showed you one of my family favorite ornaments. We lovingly call this one the disappointment pickle. And we call it that because we have this tradition at St. Nicholas Day where we give ornaments. And this one was a disappointing one. One of my kids was hoping for a better one than a pickle. But I wanted to show another ornament this morning. And I've shown this one before. And I know my family kind of rolls their eyes about Dad's different sermon illustrations. And this is one of them. But this particular one is a time capsule. It was given to Jenny and I our first Christmas. So inside is the memory of that first Christmas. And when you unwind it, there's paper. And it's dated December 25th. Of the year 2000. That was the first year that Jenny and I were married for Christmas. And it goes through a list of things. That Christmas when the weather was, anybody remember what it was like in 2000? It was frigid. It was very cold. We lived at, in our address, and we lived in apartments in Anderson, Indiana. At that time, the news was full of stories about things like, do you guys remember? What's that? Y2K? Yeah, I think we were a year past that, though, pretty much. So we may not remember what stories were going on in the news. We shared lots of Christmas traditions. There's other things. We got each other gifts like a St. Louis Cardinal jersey. We fought about it, by the way. Sewing machine, toothbrush, flashlight, socks, a Jane Austen book, and a CD. Now, we might have to, how many of you don't know what a CD is? Yeah, some of you have never heard of that, but they were back in, around Y2K, around the year 2000. So it kind of like we preserved these things, and then this scroll ends with, but those were fleeting things. In other words, it came to pass. There were the people that we spent time with. I see a few of them in there. Nelly Prieto was on the list. Of my parents, But we remember those, but they were fleeting. It came to pass. Well, that first Christmas came to pass. And when baby Jesus was born, baby's first Christmas was a chaotic one. Luke gives us the details of that first Christmas. Some of the things that were going on, Joseph and Mary did not have a lot of money. It all started in kind of a scandalous way where Mary got pregnant ahead of schedule and she faced a lot of criticism likely and some alienation and it was stressful. And then there was really bad timing because the government decided to issue a census. So the people had to go and leave to register to pay taxes. And this was going to be a costly trip for Mary and Joseph because it was about 90 miles of a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem where they needed to go pay taxes. So they were going to have all the travel costs, lodging, food, figure it out just so they could comply with a government they weren't thrilled about. So it was difficult. So they go. This probably took about 4 days. It costs a lot. And it was a place, Jesus was born there. They didn't have a whole lot of money. So the only place within their budget was basically a barn. Which reminds me, when my kids were little, and if they would do something like, we'll say, uncivilized, like leave the refrigerator door wide open to leave it running, their mother would say something like, "Were you born in a barn? Close the door." And one of my kids, I'm too old to remember now which one, said, "Well, Jesus was born in a barn." You guys will have to tell me which ones did that. But those times are long gone, and I miss those times. Jesus was indeed born in a barn. And all that they had to go through. Luke was the one who wrote this story. Luke never met Jesus. So what Luke was doing, and we think Luke was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish like Jesus and most of the early followers of Jesus. So he was writing, and what he had to do to be able to write his gospel was he interviewed eyewitnesses. Now we have enough details in there that it's almost certain that one of the eyewitnesses that Luke interviewed was Mary, Jesus' mother. And this would have happened about 60 or so years later, like decades after Jesus was born. Jesus had grown up, and he died, and then he ascended, and he had been gone for a while when Luke was writing and interviewing people. And so, say this is Mary 60 years later after baby's first Christmas, all those memories she kept in the scrapbook of her heart. She kept all these things. Decades later, Mary kept all those things. They had come to pass, but she kept. Now, one of the things that Mary would have pondered as a good Hebrew girl would have been this wisdom literature. So we're going to look at these, I think, profound wisdom in Ecclesiastes 3. It's an observation of what our lives are like. And this section starts with this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. And then the author goes through a few other things, just observations of what our human experience is like. There's seasons of, we go through seasons, birth and death and everything in between. But then skipping down a few verses, one of the observations is that there's a time to keep and there's a time to throw away. And it came to pass. There's a time that things pass by. Maybe there's a time to throw things away. And there's a time to keep. Mary kept all these things. And when we're thinking about maybe the things that we've lost or Christmases past, some of the things that came to pass, the good memories, this is very, very good news for us that Mary was able to keep all these things. A few verses later in Ecclesiastes, the author notes, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Things pass, but it's heading somewhere.
God has also set eternity into the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Amen, right? Nobody can fathom all the things. Like, the Bible is this incredible story that begins in creation, in the garden, and it ends with some crazy stuff and a dragon, but back in a garden. And the Bible is this one story, and no one can really fathom it. We don't know some of the things that maybe seem bad that turn out good. We don't really know. But God has set eternity into our hearts. It came to pass is often comforting. But our hearts, sometimes the human heart can be weighed down with all kinds of things that maybe were intended for us to pass. Maybe some of that frustration that weighs our hearts down, or resentment, anger, sin. There are some things that can weigh our hearts down, because there are some things that are, there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. And we can't fathom everything, but there's something in us as fellow image bearers of God where we have eternity in our hearts. We long for that which is eternal. And the experiences that we have in this life, they speak into this eternity that we long for. There's a time to keep. Let's go back to that Luke 2:19 verse. But Mary kept all these things. And let's look at a different translation here to see how it, another way to express it. The NIV says, instead of kept, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, we might think, because we know the story of Christmas, it came to pass, but now it's such a legend to us, right? There's angels and God, there's Emmanuel, this virgin birth that's so mysterious and wonderful that we sing about and we know about the end of that story with Jesus. There are all these things that happen, that the magi, the wise men that came up and presented the gifts, the treasures, the shepherds declaring it, the angels, we know about that. And it might seem like it would have been easy for Mary to treasure these things, right? I mean, of course she treasured it. This was Christmas. This is going to be, the whole world is going to know about this event. 2,000 years later, from the other side of the world, people are still going to be talking about this, almost obsessed with this story. But I don't think it was easy. As we already alluded to, Mary was an unwed mother at a time when that was very difficult. Surely there were whisperings, people who had either like given her the cold shoulder or said nasty things about her, people who really treated her poorly during this time and assumed some things that maybe weren't true or thought the worst of her. She had to deal with the relational fallout of that once in a lifetime event. There was the long trip that they had, the expenses, the pressure that she could have gotten caught up in, worries about whether or not they'd have enough money to make it, worries about whether maybe God had chosen the wrong people to do this thing. How could she get it done? All the worries of a first-time mother. There was the birth suite that they had where it was apart from their family, so she was going to have to celebrate this milestone of welcoming her first child, her son, her firstborn, into the world, not surrounded in the comforts of home, but really with people she didn't know that well. Instead of mom and dad, maybe, and people, friends she'd had growing up, it was these mysterious shepherds who probably were a little bit uncouth and maybe didn't smell the best and were maybe a little rough around the edges. She could have gotten caught up in the disappointments of that. She could have been frustrated because she was married or going to marry to a carpenter, and she didn't even have a crib to show for it. All they had was that manger, a makeshift crib. There were all kinds of things she could have been caught up in. This was supposed to be God, Emmanuel, someone really important, and there were no VIPs to sit there. It was less important people on the night shift. How difficult, how she could have been ruminating over her bad luck, the inconvenient timing of the census, the people who'd mistreated her, the people who'd misunderstood, the strained relationships, all the things that went wrong that first Christmas, because it was chaotic. She could have been weighed down by those things. But there was something in Mary where it came to pass. and she let it go. She was focused. She was caught up in the eternal instead of the things that were passing away, the temporary. She had surrendered her life and said, "Let it be to me, Lord." She had surrendered her life and trust to the Lord. And there's something special about Mary that she just kept all these things. She kept and had these good memories. Well, as we already mentioned, and pretty much everybody already knows, her baby would grow up. He would be an adult who taught these incredible lessons, and then he would die and then resurrect and ascend into heaven. But the adult Jesus taught something about treasuring. This is in Matthew 6, 19, and it's very related. Maybe he was even thinking about his mother and the treasures that came from the Magi and how she treasured what mattered. But he said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This time, this first Christmas that she treasured, there was, as Revelation mentions, a dragon. And that dragon, the devil, he comes to steal and kill and destroy. He comes to slander and to lie. He's called the author of lies. And he was on his way that first Christmas. He was part of that story, wreaking havoc as he always does. But our Bible group read some really good news today, didn't we, Jenny? The dragon wreaks a lot of havoc, and hate is strong, and it mocks the song, and does all kinds of terrible things. But in the end, the dragon loses. It's in the back of the book. The dragon loses. So yeah, Peggy's about ready to clap. So we know that even though it's strong and it does some horrible things, it loses. And Mary let that go. Mary treasured the things that can be kept. Rather than the stuff of the earth that competes for our allegiance with the eternal and what matters and what we can keep. Because the stuff, the competition between the stuff of earth and the things of heaven, the things of eternity, that stuff of earth is going to be thrown away. It's going to be destroyed, sort of like the devil is. It's going to end up at Goodwill or in a dump or gone. It's going to go. There's some stuff that's just going to be thrown away. There's a time to throw away, and there's going to be some of that, but there's a time to keep. So I think one of the questions that I have for myself as I'm looking at the Christmas story and the example of Mary, Jesus' mother, and how she was able to do that at such a young age to savor the things that need to be savor. And I said to Zakota's father, and I would say to all of you parents who have young children, savor these times. Cherish them because they do pass away quicker than you think. Talk to some of the older parents if you don't believe it. But it goes by quick. Savor the times. They're really beautiful. But how can we be like Mary, who was able to do that in the midst of a chaotic Christmas, to keep what was really beautiful and what was eternal? Thinking about this and what gets in the way of that for me. When my heart gets weighed down by troubles, by anxieties, by pain. And there were lyrics from one of my favorite songwriters that came to mind. His name's Rich Mullins, and he wrote these words: "Save me from those things that might distract me." We're going to have distractions to deal with this Christmas. Save us, because they're passing away. It came to pass. "Take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to trade the eternal for the things that are passing." It's not a trade anybody wants to make. It's not worth it. "Because what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?" This Christmas, how do we be like Mary? Well, some guy who was against Jesus later in his life, Paul, who saw the light later, And he had lots of regrets in his past, but then he became convinced. He saw the light. He saw what mattered. He saw the eternal. And he became a great follower of Jesus and was pointing people to follow what really matters. And he wrote these words that are memorialized in 1 Corinthians 13. He said this, one of the translations, love never fails. Another way that it's expressed is love never ends. Or another way, love never dies. What will we have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? That's what it is. So hold on to that which is eternal, because we have hope. Now Mary pondered these things and she kept them. And as a woman who's maybe in her 70s or 80s or whatever, when she's retelling the first Christmas, she had some reason to believe why it was so important to keep it. Because she had seen her son grow up, she had seen him die, and she had seen him come back to life. And he had left, he ascended. But because of that, she had perspective that maybe love really is eternal. There is hope. That we can have hope with the past, present, and future because he lives. And that was Mary's thing. Because Jesus lived, there's hope that this is true and that it's eternal. And that even though hate is strong and the thief, the dragon, wreaks havoc, it's not as strong is what will last, because that's passing away. How can we be like Mary? How can we be like Mary? Well, Paul goes on. Listen to this. Listen to how similar this is. But where there are prophecies, which seem really important, right? Prophecies, these observations, teachings, they will cease. Where there are tongues, the words we speak, the words we use, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Even stuff that's really good and important there, it's temporary. It will come to pass. But then later, Paul ends this thing up by saying, even though those things pass, they came to pass, knowledge does, and tongues, and words, and all these, they come to pass. But now, in the end, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that is eternal. That's something that can be kept. So what happens to things when they're gone? Are they really gone? Well, again, because of the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we have reason to be confident that when things or loved ones are gone, that they're not really gone. That we can keep that which is eternal. And that the things that we deal with in this life, we have hope that it's passing away. The pain will come to pass. The troubles will come to pass, and we have hope in something that is eternal. Isn't the gospel beautiful? Yes? Isn't it wonderful? Doesn't that speak to our deepest needs in the human heart? How do we be like Mary? I thought about one of my daughter's favorite songwriter who wrote the lyrics, "Hold on to the memories, they will hold on to you. And I will hold on to you." Think about that. Mary, hold on to the memories. They will hold on to you. And I will hold on to you. Mary pondered these things. She cherished it. She kept it. There are some really important things, people, that we need to keep. We need to remember that. So here's the question. Here's the question. What will you hold on to? What will you keep? What will you have to just say it'll come to pass? What are you going to throw away? And what are you going to hold on to? Because you get to answer that question for yourself. We all do. What is it that you're going to ponder? What is it that you're going to treasure? Who are you going to be with? Because the message of Christmas is that Emmanuel, our God, is with us. He's with us when we ponder. He's with us when we treasure. He's with us when we hold on to him. He holds on to us. So, as we wrap this thing up today, I want to share some of these beautiful words that Mary would have been pondering. Again, as a good Hebrew girl who knew the word of God. Psalm 31:21. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. He showed me the wonders of his love. So as we close, before we pray and have the worship team come back up, I just want to say together, wow. Right, as we ponder Jesus, let's say it together. Wow. Wow. Wow, isn't it awesome? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, a gift of wonderful, unconditional love. Let your love fill our hearts this season and help us to love others as you have loved us. May your love guide us and shine brightly through us in all we do. May we remain and remember that what remains is faith, hope, love, joy, peace. And may we remember that the greatest of these is love, and that love goes on and on and on. May we keep all these things. It's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.